Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with an amazing comeback by Barcelona Football Club in the UEFA Champions League. The powerful Spanish side completed the biggest comeback in Champions League history, beating visiting Paris Saint-Germain 6-1 to reach the quarterfinals. No side in the 61 years of the European Cup tournament had ever advanced after losing the first leg of a knockout tie by 4 goals. The French club PSG won the first leg 4-0, but with Brazilian star Neymar showing inspired form, Barca struck 3 late goals in 6 minutes for an extraordinary comeback victory. Neymar found the net with a free kick in the 88th minute, and then 2 minutes later he converted a penalty shot. Finally, Neymar followed up with a chip pass for substitute Sergi Roberto that he converted for a dramatic late goal that sent Barcelona through 6-5 on aggregate. Roberto's winner sent Barcelona's bench flooding onto the pitch as fans celebrated the club's 10th consecutive appearance in the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. Barcelona has won Europe's most prized trophy 5 times, with its last title coming in 2015. Speaking after his club's historic triumph, head coach Luis Enrique said, and I quote, "I don't think anybody stopped believing. I want to point to all those who kept their faith in us after we lost 4-0. This win is dedicated to them." At a news conference in London Thursday, FIFA President Gianni Infantino said Barcelona's thrilling win is evidence that the rules of the beautiful game shouldn't be tampered with too much.
What we saw yesterday night was an incredible match anyway of football, whatever the result would have been at the end. I mean, and this shows that football is really a fantastic game. We were speaking yesterday. We had dinner and with also the chairman of the and the CEO of the or general secretary of the English and the Scottish associations. So we were saying we have really to be careful in the IFAB if we want to touch the laws of the game, because football is such an incredible game that whenever you have the feeling you have seen everything, something else comes that you have never seen before. So it's just amazing and incredible. VAR will be there in future, hopefully, to correct clear mistakes of the referee. Now, in this case, I don't know whether it was a clear mistake or not, but in future, when there are clear mistakes, this will be corrected by the video assistant referee so that we can make sure that the match, decisive match, is not decided by a mistake made in good faith by a referee. That's what we want to achieve.
At that same London news conference on Thursday, FIFA President Gianni Infantino laughed when a reporter asked him about the future of Arsenal's embattled French manager, Arsene Wenger.
Oh, my God. What a question. Well, Arsene Wenger is an icon of Arsenal, no? Even his first name is kind of... It's Arsenal. No, it's kind of linked for eternity. You would think he has done a great job in Arsenal, but I'm very happy that I have to deal with many other challenges, but not with managing Arsenal. It will be up to the managers of Arsenal to decide what the future of Arsenal will be, but what Arsene Wenger has done in Arsenal is, throughout the history, is certainly outstanding. He's a big personality of football. He's a legend. He's a legend. He's one of the football legends.
Football legend Arsene Wenger, who has been coaching Arsenal since 1996, has been under fire after Tuesday's humiliating 5-1 home loss to Bayern Munich of Germany. Meanwhile, another German club, Borussia Dortmund, was another big winner in UEFA Champions League action Wednesday, shutting out visiting Benfica 4-0. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Borussia Dortmund's Gabonese striker, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who scored a hat trick. The 2015 African Footballer of the Year had missed a penalty kick when Dortmund lost 1-0 in the first leg of the round of 16 tie. But you might say Aubameyang more than made up for that by taking his tally to 7 goals in 7 matches as Dortmund advanced to the quarterfinals on a 4-1 aggregate. Speaking about his previous Champions League performance, Aubameyang said, and I quote, "I wasn't happy with my game, with how I played. I wanted to show my teammates that I could do much better." Meanwhile, one of Aubameyang's younger teammates, 18-year-old American Christian Pulisic, continues to impress. Christian scored his first Champions League goal in that victory over Benfica. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Well, during Wednesday's show, I gave a sunny side of sports salute to France, which scored an impressive 3-0 victory over the USA to win the She Believes Cup Women's Football Trophy here in Washington. With more details on the victory by the French women, here is VOA's Park Brewer.
The home fans showed up on a rainy night hoping to see the U.S. women's soccer team defend their title in this event that was first played in the United States last year. The U.S. took on France after Germany beat England 1-0, so the Americans needed a win over France to take the title. But it was not long before France took the advantage. Eugenie Le Sommer was taken down in the box and a penalty kick was awarded. Camille Abelie stepped up to the spot and converted to give the French a 1-0 lead. If that weren't enough of a shock to the partisan crowd, less than 2 minutes later, Lesummer scored to make it 2-0. Abelie added a second half goal to make the final 3-0, giving France the title.
We are really happy because we know it's really hard to beat US in USA. So it's a great game we did, but we just want to keep going, and it's really important for us to win this tournament.
I think that the players was a good, very good match, in general. And the 2 goals during the 10 first minutes, I think it's better for beginning the match.
U.S. defender Julie Johnson said it was not the result they wanted.
Extremely disappointed, obviously, but we're here to grow and learn. You know, we want to have as many tools as we can in order to grow and test ourselves, and these are the teams that you want to test yourselves with.
The defeat left the U.S. team in last place, and on home soil, they had to watch the French celebrate their She Believes title. Park Brewer, VOA News, Washington.
Kemi Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
In National Basketball Association news, German star Dirk Nowitzki of the Dallas Mavericks joined some illustrious company this week. Dirk became only the sixth player in NBA history to score 30,000 or more career points. Nowitzki did it Tuesday night during a 122-111 victory over the visiting Los Angeles Lakers. Now, Nowitzki needed 20 points before tip-off to reach 30,000 points, and he did it quickly in less than 10 minutes of game action. The German big man fired in 18 first-quarter points before making one of his patented one-legged fadeaway jumpers that settled softly into the bottom of the net. Dallas owner Mark Cuban. Some of our Voice of America listeners might know Cuban from his appearances on the Shark Tank television show. Well, Cuban rushed Nowitzki and clutched the side of his jersey as his teammates celebrated around him in Dallas. In his 19th NBA season, the 38-year-old Nowitzki says it's been an amazing ride, and he hopes he can score a few more baskets before he rides off into the sunset. Dirk Nowitzki is regarded as the greatest European player to compete in the NBA. Taking a look at those NBA scoring charts, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the NBA's all-time career scoring leader with 38,387 points. The five other players in the 30,000 club are Carl the Mailman Malone, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Julius Dr. J. Irving, and last but not least, the German big man, Dirk Nowitzki. And let me give a quick NBA Sunny Side of Sports programming note. My special guest on Friday's show is Amadou Gallo Fall, the vice president and managing director of the NBA in Africa. Amadou will talk about how basketball is developing in Africa, as well as the NBA Africa exhibition game, which is scheduled for August 5th in Johannesburg, South Africa. Amadou Gallo Fall, my special guest on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
I also encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOAsunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Good to have you back, Andrew. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, if there's one thing that we love on the show, it's a theme, right? We love doing these theme segments.
Love those sporty themes.
Love those, love those theme segments. If I could talk, that'd be great. So we've got a great theme today. Win, lose, and draw.
Win, lose, and draw.
Win, lose, and draw. And of course, the win, what other win could we possibly be talking about? But the one that you started the show with, that huge win for Barcelona.
Tremendous.
Tremendous. And certainly tremendous on social media. Lots of fan reaction, calling it the greatest comeback ever. A miracle revival. Calling the Barca team living legends for being able to pull that off. And one tweet in particular, a photo of the team in the locker room. They're all really jovial and just gathered together, kind of posing for a picture. And Arda Turan, one of the Barca players from Turkey, tweeted out, he said, "You call it a football team, we call it Barca. You call it a miracle, we call it normal." So certainly reveling in that impressive victory over Paris Saint-Germain. The other side of that, however, are all the fans on social media who missed the match and offering their reasons why they missed it and kind of bemoaning the fact they didn't get to see history being made. So people saying, oh, I was at the supermarket, I was stuck in class, I was sleeping. One tweet I saw, some sad person said the stream was buffering on the computer and they just couldn't get it to work, so they couldn't watch that match. But they did engage on social media, Twitter reporting that 6.1 million tweets were sent across Europe during the match. It's now the most tweeted football match in history. So historic, certainly, on that level. And perhaps historic as far as the odds makers. A number of people noting the odds in-game for them to win this were 200-1.
Incredible.
Which were longer odds than were against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl after they were down by 25 points. Of course, the New England Patriots came back and won in overtime. Barca scores those three goals in the last 7 minutes or so, and they win amazing, amazing. And that's all that anybody can talk about is just how amazing and historic this is.
And I think that added to the drama, the fact that they scored those goals in such a short period of time, Andrew.
Yeah, people are already casting who's going to play Messi in the movie. And
and Neymar.
And Neymar and all the others. So it's already fans are very excited about that.
Well, it's Barca for the win on social media. What about the loss, Andrew?
Well, a loss for boxing fans with the announcement that Pacquiao Khan is off. The fight that we've been talking about for a couple weeks now on the show is apparently not going to happen in the UAE. Bob Arum, who is Pacquiao's manager, promoter, said that the $38 million backing from this investment group in the United Arab Emirates didn't materialize. And the quote that I've seen tweeted out from him, he said, "When it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true." Unfortunate that that's not going to be happening. Fans obviously very disappointed, saying it's bad news. A big lost money, lost hype, big mistake. But some of the fans aren't willing to give up yet. And someone that's also not willing to give up yet, Amir Khan. Amir Khan's still holding out hope, reportedly, that this could actually still happen. But it looks like it's unlikely. It looks like Pacquiao now might face off with Jeff Horn of Australia. Now, as
his original opponent.
It was his original opponent. Now, as you might remember, when Pacquiao first put out that Twitter poll several weeks ago asking who he should fight, Amir Khan got 48% of the vote in that Twitter poll. Jeff Horn got last place with just 7% of that Twitter vote. So there's some question about how exciting that fight might be if only 7% of respondents wanted to see that fight to begin with. Needless to say, the fans aren't nearly as excited. But again, some of them still holding out hope that Amir Khan could be facing Manny Pacquiao in the ring, as unlikely as that is to happen.
Well, we'll wait and see on Manny Pacquiao's next opponent. One way or the other, it doesn't sound like he's going to become a full-time senator anytime soon.
No, I think he's going to keep fighting. You know, Khan and Pacquiao have been conspicuously silent on social media so far. Maybe they are still trying to work something out behind the scenes. Who knows? But this story has taken a lot of twists and turns, and we will continue to report on it as we hear more from them on social media.
Okay, so it's Barcelona for the win, Pacquiao Khan for the loss. What is it for the draw?
For the draw, well, this is a bit of a play on words. Not a draw as in a tie. It's a draw as in a matchup draw, as in a tennis draw. And we're looking specifically the draw at the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells Tennis Garden, known as Indian Wells in the tennis world. Big matchup, one of the top matchups in tennis, one of the top tournaments in tennis after the Grand Slam tournaments and then the tour finals. You have this level of tournaments, including Indian Wells. On the women's side, you have a bit of a disappointment. Serena Williams pulling out of the tournament with some knee problems, so that draw has been a bit deflated, but a bit opened up now. Anybody could win that. As a consequence of that, as many are noting on social media, Serena Williams is going to lose her number one ranking because she was in the finals in Indian Wells last year. She's not going to be able to defend those ranking points, so she will lose that number one ranking. But again, it opens it up for a lot of other women to go and try to win that title. On the men's side, it's a bit of a stacked draw in the bottom quarter. In the bottom quarter of this draw, you have Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, all in the bottom quarter. Joining them, Juan Martín Del Potro, of course, who upset Federer in the U.S. Open in 2009. And two up-and-comers, you have Alexander Zverev and Australian Nick Kyrgios, who are both ranked now, both, I think, in their late teens, early 20s, kind of the new class of tennis players that are expected to be in the top 10 if they work at it. All of those names in one quarter of the draw. So all those names I just mentioned, of all those players, Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, Kyrgios, Zverev, Del Potro, only one of those men is going to be in the semifinals at Indian Wells. So definitely worth watching as the tournament gets underway today to see before the semifinals some of those big battle matchups in the second, third, fourth rounds of that tournament.
Big names indeed, Andrew. This is not a Grand Slam tournament, but it is. It's a big one.
Oh, it is for sure. There's a lot of ranking points, a lot of money at stake, and a lot of attention from the fans. They're already loving it. The tournament's just kicking off today, and they're thrilled that this is a stacked quarter of the draw. They're looking forward to some great matches. And somebody else who I think is going to be looking forward to that, Andy Murray, who doesn't have to face any of those names potentially until the finals. So Andy Murray, I'm sure, as the number one, is sitting pretty in Indian Wells.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. We'll hear from you again on Friday, Andrew.
Looking forward to it.
And that wraps up the March 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Speaking before a joint session of Congress, President Donald Trump assured American allies that the United States is prepared to take a leadership role.
Our foreign policy calls for a direct, robust, and meaningful engagement with the world. It is American leadership based on vital security interests that we share with our allies all across the globe.
The president expressed strong support for NATO, calling it an alliance forged through the bonds of two world wars that dethroned fascism and a Cold War that defeated communism. He cautioned, however, that America's partners must meet their financial obligations.
We expect our partners, whether in NATO, the Middle East, or in the Pacific, to take a direct and meaningful role in both strategic and military operations and pay their fair share of the cost.
President Trump added that the U.S. will respect historic institutions, but it will also respect the sovereign rights of nations.
Free nations are the best vehicle for expressing the will of the people, and America respects the right of all nations to chart their own path. My job is not to represent the world. My job is to represent the United States of America. But we know that America is better off when there is less conflict, not more.
War and destruction around the globe have led millions to flee their homes. But the only long-term solution for these humanitarian disasters, said President Trump, is to create the conditions where displaced persons can safely return home and begin the long process of rebuilding. America is willing to find new friends and to forge new partnerships where shared interests align, said President Trump. We want harmony and stability, not war and conflict. We want peace, wherever peace can be found. America is friends today with former enemies. Some of our closest allies decades ago fought on the opposite sides of these world wars, said President Trump. This history should give us all faith in the possibilities for a better world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, This is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge. This one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.